We told some of you last night we had to be away for a few hours because of a funeral service in Cincinnati. We're glad to be here tonight and to see Brother Johnson, to see Brother Steve Wilson leave the choir like this, to hear Brother Johnson sing like that. I'll tell you, that thrills my soul tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but something's going to happen tonight in this service. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, yes. I believe God is not going to meet with us. He's already meeting with us. Amen. I'm standing in Saul's office tonight, and I've got the head of the giant in my hand. Praise God. Let's say hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, everybody, and praise His name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul just like the Bible says. I'm going to let you be seated while you sing that if
you
want to.
I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul just like the Bible says. Well, I've been through the water and I've been baptized. My soul's got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible says. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says. Well, I've been through the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happier and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't pay nothing for my journey now.
I believe tonight that we can see a great altar service after a little while in this great meeting tonight. See someone thrilled and filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. Tonight I love God and I'm glad to be a part of this fellowship and this camp meeting. Sister Sizemore and I are glad to be with you, and our boy Danny and David was with us last night. We expect our daughter to be here with us Wednesday night in the service. And all of the folks from Cincinnati, we're glad you came, all of them that are here tonight. We love all of you here in this state of Indiana. We embrace the same glorious truth, and we love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Comes time for the preaching of God's Word, and I'm sure you can share with me the burden of trying to preach the Word of God in the camp meeting. But if you'll help me like you did last night, we have something from God's Word that we hope will be of great benefit and value to you that have gathered in camp meeting in Indiana 1977. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture and then direct your attention to 1 Samuel. I want you to turn then to 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 1 and verse 2 of the Scriptures. And if you'll follow me for just a few moments tonight, I believe there's something in here that will be a great blessing to all of us. Hallelujah. Oh, I felt something already. I feel it now. Hallelujah. It's kind of hard for me to slow down here long enough to read the Scriptures. Amen. But I believe it's most important to us that we learn from the Word of God. The Bible says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. This is in reference to the first advent of Jesus Christ into the earth, telling us what he's going to do. And it proceeds to tell us in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of prisons, bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Back to verse 3 is these words, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. I want you to follow me on that scripture tonight. That's my text. A bruised reed shall he not break. This is coupled with the scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to read for you. For there was an unprecedented crisis in the nation of Israel during this particular era and journeys as they went across the way. This, first of all, let me explain to you just a minute what the bruised reed and the smoking flax represented. The bruised reed, the reed, of course, was the little plant that grows that alludes here to the animal as it comes through the country and presses down or bruises this particular plant to where it can have no musical notes in it anymore as long as the reed was bruised. Well, you see, the reed here tells us like the reed in a saxophone. You have to have the little reed in it to make it sound right. Most wind instruments have to have a little reed in them. And the bruised reed, he said, I'm not going to break it. I'm going to come in the prophetic sense to put the music back in the reed. The bruised reed, I'm not going to break it. I'm going to mend it. I'm going to put it all back together for you. Amen. And the smoking flax, the flax was like the grass that grew, and the flax which was made a candlestick out of it. And it was burned all the way down to where there was hardly any light left in it. It was simply smoking. And he said, I'm not going to quench it or put it out. I'm not going to take the bruised reed and break it, nor am I going to take the smoking flax and put it out. I'm going to bring judgment into the earth, and the coming of my Messiahship into the world is going to put music back in the reed and light back in the flax. And I'm going to bring judgment in the earth like you have never seen before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then, if you will notice with me in the scripture I referred you to you in 6 of 2 Samuel, where the Bible says, and David arose and with all the people that were with him to bring up the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. David recognized that this divine plan in human life was working, but there was a condition in Israel at this time that needed the touch of the Almighty. The ark was missing, and there was a bruised condition. The smoking flax, it had come down to where the light had gone out of it, and it was smoking. And there was a great need for a restoration of God's good grace in their midst. And therefore, because of this need, God said to David and spoke to him, and a new passion seized him. And in this particular period of history, God said to him, David, I cannot operate without my ark is in your presence. I cannot go along without I pick you all up once again and restore the joy of salvation to your life. But you see that little box that was carried through the wilderness, the ark, it was 54 inches long and 30 inches broad and 30 inches high. And it was set away in a holy place. It was full of uproar and tragedy. It was full of progress and success. But for the moment in the lives of the people of Israel, it had been captured and taken away from them. Hallelujah. They're going to have to restore that ark and get it back home. For the bruised reed, I'm not going to break it. I'm going to restore it. And everything about God tonight is full of restoration, light, power, glory, omnipotence. Praise the Lord. If you're here this evening and you feel like some unorthodox animal has stepped on your life, let me tell you, friends, that he's not going to break it. He's going to put some music back in your soul. Amen. He's going to put some light back in the flax. He's going to do something like you have never seen before in our generation. Let's say hallelujah tonight. Will you say hallelujah this evening once more? Praise God. David said, I'm going to have to go get it. We've been without it for these 20-some-odd years. And the ark of God's gone from us. The Philistines have taken it, captured it away from us. We're trying to sing a song without the ark. We're trying to do all kind of things without God's presence. We're trying to copy after the world and see all of these things. So a new passion seized him, and he said, I'm going to go back and get it. I'm going to wrestle it from the grasp of the enemy, and I'm going to bring it home and put it where it ought to be put. Hallelujah. I want you to know it was a grand time when the ark came back into the midst of Israel. It was a glorious time when God came down with his glory and with his power, because an unprecedented problem was in the lives of those people, and they needed something to prove to them that God was going to restore joy and restore strength and restore help to them. Therefore, the problem arose that they needed that assistance from God. They needed a divine hand. They needed law, and they needed mercy, and they needed all of God's restorative power back in their midst. And I want to say, friends, that when David brought that ark home, it was a time of shouting and glory, and the presence of God came down and was with them in a glorious way. Because he said, I'm not going to leave you without my presence. But also, if you will notice in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles in verse 37, 38, and 39, when they brought the ark of God back home, the scripture says, he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. Then, in verse 39, Zadok the priest and his brethren, the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place that was at Gibeon. Here was a group ministering around the ark of the covenant, separated from the tabernacle itself, and another group in Gibeon going through the exercises of religious worship. They did not at this point in their history have it all together yet. There was a group worshiping around the ark and a group worshiping in the tabernacle. But the ark was not in the tabernacle at this point. This was the tragedy of it. David said, I'm going to leave you, some of you singers here, to sing around the ark, because we're going to restore the light. We're going to restore the joy. We're going to get it all together. Hallelujah. And I feel like this evening, friends, that this is a time that we need to get it all together. Amen. We need to get the whole thing together. We need to put the name in its place. We need to put the power of God in its place. We need to put everything in the sanctuary in its place. Because a bruised reed, he's not going to break it. He's going to give it some help. He's going to come down and say, I want you to sing once more. I want you to restore you to your joy once more. You know, there's a tragedy in our world today. So many Pentecostals have lost their joy. They've lost the inspiration. They've lost what it really takes to have church. They've lost it all. And they're singing around an empty box tonight, sitting on pews that have no life in it, attending church services that have nothing but form and decorum, procedures and rules and regulations and doctrines and dogmas and factions and curriculums. But I want to tell you this evening, I can feel the presence of the Messiah walking into our midst and saying, I'm going to cause you to sing once more. And the flax that's just about gone out, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to light it all up again. Let's say hallelujah this evening. For you see, when David brought this ark back and had a part of it over here and a part of it over there, it couldn't work in the right way that God wanted it to work. So he had to say, well, we're going to get the singers to come and sing, and we're going to call on this group and call on another group and call on somebody else because we've got to get it all together. You know what he did? He called on this singing group in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Follow me here for a moment, if you will. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 5, where he speaks about these men that were going to stay around the ark and sing. Because, friends, if there is ever an oppressor in the earth, if there's ever somebody in the earth to be opposed to the church of the living God, it's our world enemy. The whole thing does not want us to sing, and it does not want us to shout, and it does not want us to praise the Lord, and it does not want us to have apostolic Pentecostal meetings. It just doesn't want us to do it. It wants the burning flax to go down to a smoke. And that's about all a lot of people have anymore. But he said, this bruised reed, I'm not going to let it stay bruised. Some unorthodox animal has walked through the fields and bruised the reeds. But I'm going to pick them up, put them back together, and cause them to be used once more for the glory of the Lord. Amen. You don't need to live in a bruised condition. You don't need to live in a smoking flax condition. You need to say, camp meeting spirit, get a hold of me. Let me have joy. Let me have richness. Let me have reality. Let me have all that I need from heaven. And he got this group together, and here, the three sons, he made this announcement to them and told them what he wanted them to do. He said, I want you to sing. This is how they had church and how they had camp meeting. When David brought that Ark of the Covenant back home, the Spirit of God began to move among them. The Scripture says that Asaph, he began to write some psalms. He wrote about 12 or 15 of the psalms. He was one of the greatest psalm writers in the Scriptures. He began to write them, and he began to praise the Lord on the psalms. They brought the Ark of God back and put it back where it ought to be, in the midst of the people. But still, some priests was going on around the tabernacle that didn't even have the ark in it. It didn't have the Ark of the Covenant in it. There they were down at Gibeon, worshiping around the tabernacle with all of its instruments and all of the things that was in it. But they did not have the Ark of the Covenant on the inside. But the singers were singing. They were praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Notice here what happened. And the Bible teaches us in the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles, these words. Then on the day that David delivered this first psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren, he said, Asaph, I want you to get around this ark and I want you to sing. He left three groups here. He left Asaph and Heman in chapter 25 of 1 Chronicles. He left Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, these three men and their families around the ark to sing. I think most of us anymore might have lost our song. The reed has been bruised. We have no joy, it seems, in most of our churches. Have you noticed across the years, friends, that there's a lot of joy beginning to take its flight out the windows? And a lot of inspiration in our churches that ought to be is not there, because the reed has been bruised and the smoking flax has just come down to a smoke. That's about all. It's just sort of a little vesper service, as I said last night. A few minutes of hardly hearing somebody testify. They just simply mutter a few sounds anymore. There doesn't seem to be any joy in the service. There doesn't seem to be any inspiration in the testimony. There doesn't seem to be any desire to really go to prayer meeting and seek after God. But oh, friends, he said, I see you in a bruised reed condition, and I'm going to restore it so you can have some new songs in your soul and you can have some new inspiration in your life. I'm going to tell you that I love you with all of my heart, and I'm going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. And I must say, friends, we need to look for the ark coming across the horizon. We need to look for a restoration of apostolic power and force and divine drive in our midst. We need to have a new song in our soul. We need to love Jesus like we've never loved him before. We need to put something in this like we've never put into it before. We need joy. Hallelujah. We need power. We need peace. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the move of the Lord. We need a stirring. We need a new covering of the Lord God in our midst. Hallelujah. Will you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. Let's praise him right now, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I see him here when he said this was a note of inspiration and hope. For in verse 5 of the 25th chapter of 1 Chronicles are these words. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. And all these were under the hand of their fathers for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals and psalteries and harp for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order, to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren were instructed in the songs of the Lord. Even all that were cunning with 200 were 248, or 248. Here were the men that had come to sing. This choir was singing. The Holy Ghost was moving in the wilderness. David knew that an unprecedented crisis had existed in Israel. The ark was gone. It was in the hands of the Philistines. And men can go around their altars and go around their procedures of a tabernacle without the ark in it, but they'll have no song in their soul. They'll have no joy in their life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to just kind of do away with some of our religious mechanics. Amen. We need to get away from all of our mechanics of religion. We need to let the Holy Ghost move once more until we can feel His Spirit one more time in this generation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, we might look at it in our terminology today. In the terminology that we might proceed to look at it, we might say it like this. Here's the Greater Jerusalem Gospel Association presents all of this entertainment for your joy. Number one, here's the Jordan Valley Trio. Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. Let's put it in terms like we might put it today. This Greater Jerusalem Gospel Association presents for your entertainment. And oh, friends, that might be some of our downfall today. We have come to an age of entertainment. We have come to an age when men would like for us to set them in a perambulator of some kind and cuddle and coddle them until we get them all the way through. But I'm here to tell you, friends, the hallelujah, that we haven't come to put on a show tonight. We haven't come to put on some kind of worldly entertainment. We have come to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come to tell you that His name is real above every name. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah once more. I'm feeling all right. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost up here. I feel the Holy Ghost moving around here. I saw it moving a while ago. Somebody ought to shout it even more than they did a while ago. Hallelujah. We didn't. We didn't have the choir just simply merely to entertain you. And I know Brother Johnson, when he stood out here a while ago, was singing, "My day is going to come." He's giving the world the good news that you can have your way now, but our day is going to come. We wasn't singing it for entertainment. We wasn't singing it, oh, hallelujah, to go through the rituals of religious exercises. But we're here to tell you, friends, that we're a part of the blood-bought, blood-washed Holy Ghost Church, filled with the power of the living God. Touch me, Lord. Touch me. I'm a broken reed without you. I cannot sing without you. I cannot preach without you. I cannot have church without you. I cannot do anything without you. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I need you. Hallelujah. How many need Him right now? How many need Him right now? Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I cannot do anything without Him. If I do, it comes down to the mechanics of religious exercises. But oh, friends, we're not here to be doing some cheerleading tonight. We're just here to tell you that God wants to take the broken reed and He wants to put some music back in it. Hallelujah. He wants to put some joy back in your soul. And the smoking flax that's down to nothing, He's going to light it up one more time. For in the evening time there shall be light. Oh, yes, there's joy in Jesus. He's everything to me tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We might have picked up some kind of announcement and said it like this. The Greater Jerusalem Gospel Association is going to present for your entertainment the Jordan Valley Trio, with a 248-voice metropolitan choir. Hallelujah. Amen. and the singing Heman family. If you notice here, he had 14 sons and 3 daughters. That's quite a family, isn't it? Singing Heman family, 14 sons and 3 daughters. They just arrived a short time ago in their Greyhound chariot. Amen. That's a hallelujah. Now, I'm only observing a situation. I want to tell you, friends, we have an unprecedented crisis among our Pentecostals today. Too many of us want to be entertained, cuddled and coddled and carried to heaven in some kind of perambulator. Nobody wants to fast and pray anymore. Nobody wants to get down to business anymore. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, we need a restoration of joy. We need a restoration of power. We need to say, great God, take the bruised reed. Take the reed that can't sing. Take the reed that's lost its voice. Take the reed that's lost its melodious power. Bathe it in water of some kind and put it back where it can sing once more and praise you once more and love you once more. A bruised reed shall he not break. He's not going to break it down. He's going to restore it. Hallelujah. He's going to put it back where it'll sing once more and where it'll play once more. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Don't you want him to give you what you got in the beginning? Don't you want him to give you a new birth, a new baptism of fire? Hallelujah. Let God be all in all to you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody called me some time ago and said, we'd like to all come and sing for you, Brother Sizemore, but you'll have to get us through our booking agent. I said, well, I'll see about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We like to be entertained. We like to come to church and say, well, I sure hope the preacher has it tonight. I sure hope Brother so-and-so has it tonight. I sure hope the choir has it tonight. Because it's sure enough, I haven't got it. Amen. And when the preacher has a little struggling, they say, wonder what's the matter with him. I don't know what's the matter with him. Let me ask you something. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Amen. Somebody has stepped on your reed. Somebody has bruised the reed. It can't sing anymore. It can't witness anymore. It can't testify anymore. It's bruised. It's bruised. You can't put it in a saxophone. It won't play right anymore. It's down. It's gone. Amen. But when Jesus comes, he said, I'm going to pick the reed back up and I'm going to restore. Hallelujah. I'm feeling all right. Don't worry about me. I'm not struggling. I'm feeling good. I'm having a good time up here. Hallelujah. This is camp meeting. I want to run the devil clear out of here. Hallelujah. I want to tell him to get away from here. We're going to have church. We didn't come here to entertain one another. We came here to have church. Glory, glory, glory. They just arrived a short time ago in the Greyhound chariot. The highlights of tonight's program, this is in our terminology, is that Dad Heman is singing his all-time favorite, I Won't Have to Cross Jordan Alone. And the Jordan Valley Trio is going to be singing on the Jericho Road. And the 248 voice Metropolitan Jerusalem Choir is singing in the Hebrew minor, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. That's the kind of folks I find here, but they wasn't doing that. They wasn't gathered to entertain one another around the ark. They was coming to sing the Psalms of Zion and say, praise you, Lord, because you brought the ark back to us. Praise you because you gave a new song in my soul. Praise you because of the restorative joy that you put back in our life. Hallelujah. They could have said, like we might say, they were going to feature the second greatest songwriter in our times, Asaph. He was the second greatest songwriter in the Scriptures. Asaph with his latest album, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. And we might say the Hometown Civic Club is presenting in the new form three-piece orchestra of cymbals and psalteries and harp, and we're going to have a great time of entertainment. That's not what kind they had here. Whenever they brought that ark down the road, David said, I'm going to turn handsprings. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen! Amen! You know, I don't know what it's going to take to wake some of us Pentecostals, really wake us up. We have become so familiar with the ark and with the presence of God. We have become so familiar with it that it takes almost a bomb explosion to even move us. Our familiarity with it, friends, can be our downfall. Did you know something? Did you know that while that ark was missing from Jerusalem and from the company of David and was in the house of Abinadab, it was there in the house of Abinadab for 20 years. It was gone for 20 years. You know who the two children were that drove that ark on the cart back to Jerusalem that time? It was the two sons of Abinadab, Ahio and Uzziah. And while they was growing up in his house, that ark was just another piece of familiar furniture. You know who it was that touched it when the oxen shook it? It was one of those boys, the son of Abinadab, that touched that ark. He was so familiar with it that he didn't recognize the sanctity of it. He was so familiar with it that he just didn't pay any attention to the reverence of that ark. And if anybody should have known better, it should have been the two sons of Abinadab. He had the ark in his own house for 20 years. And it seems as though we have come to this age with an irreverence to divine truth, with an irreverence to the things that makes this work. And we have a lot of young people tonight, and these were young boys. They were young. They come riding that cart back home. They should have known better not to bring it home on a cart anyway. But they didn't know. Somebody didn't tell them. And there they were in trouble, because when the oxen shook it, Uzziah put his hand out, or Uzzah put his hands out and touched it. He should have known better. But he became so familiar with the presence of the Lord in the midst of his own father's house that he touched it. And God had to stop the whole movement long enough to have Uzzah's funeral. And I wonder tonight if we haven't shouted around the golden calf and had our little entertaining programs and forgot all about the severity and the sincerity and the reverence of the house of God and the Word of God until we've seen a lot of spiritual death. No wonder young people can't be stable. They don't know what it means to be reverent to the house of God and reverent in the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I grew up in churches where they tore the songbook half in two. I grew up where they did everything in the church. There was no reverence to it. Until one day I recognized that when I come into the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, I've got to have a song in my soul. I've got to have some hands that will go up and praise Him. I've got to have lips that will acclaim His name. I've got to tell somebody that Jesus loves you like you have never been loved before. Hallelujah. Oh yes, I love to get it all together. I think we're going to get it all together in this camp meeting. We've got the singers here. We've got the preachers here. We've got the testifiers here. We've got those that's willing to let God have His way here. And we're going to get it all together in this camp meeting. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to baptize somebody, touch somebody, heal somebody, make somebody a new creation in Him. Hallelujah. I believe He's going to let tongues of fire sit on this audience somewhere and let somebody be made new in Him. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. 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 One more time, let's say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift both your hands and praise the Lord with me tonight. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. A bruised reed. He's not going to break it. He's going to put it back together. The smoking flax, He's not going to quench it. He's going to rejuvenate it, relight it, rekindle it, rekindle the flame of inspiration. Hallelujah. You may feel bruised. You may feel down. You may feel broken. You may feel that nobody loves you. But wait till Jesus gets his hands on you. Let him take the bruised reed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him restore joy in your soul. Let him bring victory to your life. Let him touch you like you've never been touched before. Bless his name. Hours of entertainment. Days of non-concern. Camp meeting after camp meeting rolls on by. And here we've come into the harvest time. In the harvest of all the ages. And the reeds are still bruised. And the flax is still smoking. But God says, it's not going to be that way with me. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised. I've come to set them free. Glory. Glory. That's why the tone of this meeting tonight may be just a little bit different than last night. Because somebody may be bruised. Somebody may be in trouble. Somebody may be in some deep spiritual difficulty. God wants to take it, help you, bathe it in the right kind of salve. Touch your friends until the song comes back in your soul. Until God comes back in your life. And until you have a rebirth of Pentecostal fire and joy in your soul. We need Him. We need Him tonight. We have come with our programs to the world. We've presented our little theological capsules, and we've had our little vesper services of 10 and 15 minutes. We've had our little prayer meeting groups with just a few, and a few utterances of a few sentences to the Lord of glory without any feeling relevant to the moving of the Holy Ghost. But He wants to take the bruised reed. He wants to take the broken soul. He wants to take the young life that has no hope and no desires for the future, because the problems of the world around us is saying you don't have any future. I want to tell you, friends, you may not have much down here, but you have the greatest future of all when you give God your life, when you give Him your soul, when you let Him bless you like you need to be blessed. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The bruised reed. The smoking flax. The importance of the presence of God in your life. The stirring of the Spirit in this great camp meeting means so much to me. Hallelujah. That's why that I noticed last night not too many came to the altar. But my goal tonight, and I believe the Lord's desire, is to see this altar filled with hungry people seeking after the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you tonight are really hungry for Jesus to restore joy and restore help and strength in your life? Hallelujah. How many want Him to touch you during this camp meeting and let Him be something to you? Let Him really mean something to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, please, and every eye is closed for the moment, we recognize there is a divine plan in human life. There is a divine plan. There is a need this evening for us to have this altar service. There is a need for us to recognize that you cannot have church without the ark. You can have a few that will stand around the ark and take care of it, but you've got to have the priest that's around the tabernacle. It was separated at this moment. You can't have it that way. You've got to get it all together. Friends, I'd like to see how many would say, I'm one of those bruised reeds and smoking flax, Brother Sizemore, that you're talking about. And how we need joy. How we need a new song in our soul. We could be so thrilled at this camp meeting, friends, that we could go back to our respective churches and literally, God could literally move into them and bring revival that we need and bring the touch that we need if we're willing. Don't live this way. Let God be all in all to you. Put Him first in your soul tonight. Hallelujah. How many can I see that'll come down here while we sing a song of praise and worship and ask God to move? How many will come down here tonight and say, Brother Sizemore, I really want to seek after God. I want to seek after His will tonight. I feel like a bruised reed. I've got all this mixed up. I want to get it all straightened out. Hallelujah.
Amen.